right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789 in Texas. It's that same number. Sandy Williams is in the studio. And by the way, I got to tell you, Congresswoman Gwen Moore is going to be on with us on tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line?
Ted from Pewaukee.
Hey, Ted, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I'm well, guys. Hey, good show. Hey, I just want to say regarding the gas, the most I have ever paid was $4.35 a gallon under the George W. administration. And at this point in time, the most I paid with our current administration yesterday was $4.29, which is 6 cents lighter than the Bush administration. So, you know, these people moaning and groaning about the gas, they got to look back in time. Look back in time, and we were in a worse area. So, hey, guys, thanks for hearing me out.
Hang on a second. Sandy, you know, you clearly pointed to a different time.
Well, I mean, I just think we all have to recognize that gasoline is a commodity, like oranges and orange juice. So, you know, there are all these commodities go up and down in price, and all of our lives, gasoline has gone up and down in price. Gasoline has been, in many respects, sort of supported by the government in terms of keeping its price lower than it otherwise might be. And we're currently producing as much oil as we have ever produced. I think this year's production is slated to be about tied with 2019, which was the biggest ever. And, you know, the problem is the rest of the world. The rest of the world's consuming more oil right now, which drives the price of oil up. We don't have a restriction that says you can't export oil from the United States. So, you know, that would be a boundary on free trade that would be rather unusual. And I think we have had such restrictions in the past, but we don't right now.
I don't have a problem paying what I'm paying because I think I can't imagine if they can get gas in Ukraine, what they would pay for gas in Ukraine if they had a car to drive around on roads in Ukraine. So at this point in time, this whole gas issue, I just kind of wish people would just kind of like chill out a little bit. You know, take a breath, and let's see where everything falls out. Hey, guys, thanks a lot for
having me on. Let me say this before you go. You are blessed and fortunate that the gas issue doesn't impact and affect you as much as so many people, that it is crippling. And
right.
And that's kind of where it is. Hey, thank you very much for calling, man. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Sandy, I want you too. Sandy, I want to go here. Ukraine. I was reading this article, man. It's in Politico today. And it's a covert operation to back Ukrainian independence that haunts the United States CIA. After World War II, officials in Washington sent scores of agents to their deaths in a misguided effort to create an uprising against Moscow. I'll read a couple paragraphs quickly. In late 1949, a series of unmarked flights began launching from Central Europe. Gargantuan C-47s flown by Hungarian or Czech pilots barreled towards Turkey and then turned north over the Black Sea, evading radar by flying barely above the ground. As the planes flew over Lviv, a string of parachutes opened, a handful of commandos tumbling into the sky over Soviet Ukraine. On the ground, they linked up with Ukrainian resistance fighters trying to beat back Soviet expansionism. Operation Red Sox, as it was known, was one of the first covert missions of the still new Cold War. The American-trained commandos would feed intelligence back to their handlers using new radio and communications equipment, stoking nationalist movements in Ukraine, Belarus, Poland, and the Baltics. The goal was to provide the U.S. unprecedented insight into Moscow's designs in Eastern Europe, and if possible, to help crack apart the Soviet Empire itself. Over half a decade, dozens of operatives took part in these flights, becoming one of the U.S.'s biggest covert operations in post-World War Europe. Ukraine's bloody insurgency was the operation's centerpiece, and it was in Ukraine that, as one scholar wrote, the CIA saw one of its most pronounced failures of the Cold War. I think that's important information, Sandy.
Yes, I mean, there's no question that the CIA, I mean, this was sort of a fiasco of the Order of the Bay of Pigs kind of thing, but you know, the CIA plays around with, particularly with insurgency groups. The CIA played around with Mossadegh, the election of then the unseating of this democratically elected head of Iran. You know, the only democratically elected person in the Mideast for decades, and between the MI6 and CIA, we managed to hatch a little kind of a uprising. That facilitated a putsch, getting rid of him and bringing in the Shah of Iran, and heralding 2 decades of horror for the Iranians, and then a long period of problems for the United States with Iran, the Iranian government that succeeded. No, we've dabbled in Ukraine, and we've undoubtedly been dabbling. You know, Russia would accuse us of having dabbled in the 2012. Period of the election, and then the 2019 election of Zelensky. I mean, there's been issues associated with the Azov Battalion and the question of how they were funded when they were sort of a posse comitatus kind of a thing. Things we did in 1950 was when we were in a Cold War with the communist regime, which we had declared an enemy because they were communist, and we thought they had this in them to spread communism and to be aggressive with it, which was probably unfounded in a look back at history. But today we're doing this in Ukraine when we didn't have that same kind of underpinning of adversity. We've essentially created the adversity that we have with Russia through this exercise of dabbling in Ukrainian politics.
So, Sandy, history, you know, 30 years from now, maybe more, the truth will come out about what we've been doing. Here it is 70 years later.
Yeah.
And this truth comes out. And yet, you know, while we're rallying the American people to make Russia Putin is the craziest man in the world. He's the most dangerous man in the world. Well, I mean, he knows this history.
Yeah, he knows that history. And so, I think that's the problem. I'm not sure the truth does come out in this country very effectively. You know, what do we know about Allende and our activities in Chile? I mean, we know enough to speak their names. We have no idea what was going on or why exactly, and why the United States played the role they did there. And so, again, we have this notion of our foreign policy being established in the dark by people we don't even know who they are, and we don't know why they're doing it or what the special interests are, whether it's a special interest or a U.S. foreign interest. But the situation in Ukraine was very complicated, and right after World War II was quite complicated because the western half of Ukraine was complicit with the Nazis and fought against the Soviet Union.
So, Sandy, we've got to go to a break, but if all you hear is that Russia invaded Ukraine, and that's what you go by, hey, this you invaded a sovereign nation, then, and that's all we hear, then it's easy to say, hey, I'm on the side of Ukraine, and I'm not on the side of Russia because of what they did. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.